Should we do one more? Let's do one more. You know what's crazy? I was thinking about this just a minute ago before you so kindly jumped on the podcast. It is November 6th right now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with you on this podcast. We're about to talk about all the bets coming up this weekend. I have the Raiders and Broncos game up. I'm not excited about this game at all, right?
Yeah.
But dude, in 40, 50 days, I will cry to have a football game on.
Yeah, you just wanted to have it on in the background, you know?
You know, like you know what I mean when it hits February 15th or whatever, right after the Super Bowl, or
Yeah.
March 10th, the dreadful days of the summer that we text each other saying, "Oh, bro, what I would do for a football game right about now."
Yeah.
And here we are, spoiled rotten that we have it right in front of us, and I'm like, "Eh, Broncos, Raiders."
I know. Eh, Broncos, Raiders, whatever. Boring game.
Curious how you bet this game this week too, you know, but we'll get into that. So, welcome in, Andrew. My name's
Shall we
Adam.
shall?
His name's Andrew. X Best Bets, another edition. As always, we love to talk about how you're doing. So let's check it out. 20-13 record overall. How are we feeling about
Yeah, crushed it last week. Last week was a good week. I had a feeling it was going to be a good week. I was talking with my buddy, and he was a little hesitant because it was a lot. The week before, a lot of favorites won, and it was a big public week. And when you have one of those, it's always, right around the corner when you have like a lot of bets that were 80%, 70, high 70s, even any of the 70% of public money on a certain team. It was going to be a good week. So, I mean, it turned out pretty well for, I think I was up 6.5 units. So it was good. I think I had like a little wacky 7-point teaser that missed by a half a point. I think the Giants screwed me, but yeah, it was a good week.
It was a good
Can't
week. Yeah.
complain.
Not a great week for college, but overall you've been doing really well in college. 13-7
Yeah.
overall for the year. 0-2-1 last week. 13-7.
Yeah, college. I don't think I was locked in on the college slate because forget. I think one of them had their backup quarterback in, and that's why the line was like that. I was like, why is the line like that? And that's why. But no, this was like a perfect week of, hey, nobody knows anything about the NFL, So like when people always preach to you like what they know what's going to happen, you just think back. Hey, remember Week 9 in the NFL when it was like. Ever the Vikings were going to get absolutely crushed, and the Panthers were going to get smoked at on the road. No way they go on Lambeau and win. Oh wait, they do. So
Yeah.
it's just a friendly reminder, that nobody knows anything. That's the whole key to the betting strategy.
So then, by my math here in Excel, right now for the year in the NFL, you're at 60%. That's pretty damn good, especially
Yeah.
considering I follow a lot of sports talk shows, football shows, and some of the guys that are really good at this are not in the 60% range, bro. So
Yes, I
congrats,
mean
keep it up.
53% is the goal,
Yeah, so we're on pace for that. You are on pace for that, and like always, we love having you on here to educate us. Let's
Yeah.
move over to your second segment. Pick one. I believe I went first last time. Why don't you go first this time? This is where we like to look back at last week. Pick a game apiece. Andrew will pick one. I'll pick a game. Give our audience some insight, more in depth on that game, kind of how we're reacting to it.
You want to talk about trade deadline?
You know what? Yes, let's before we get to pick one. We were going to talk last night after all the trades happened. So just give me overall
Yeah.
anything that stood out. I had Luke on the podcast Tuesday night to react to the Bears
Oh,
game,
okay.
but we talked a little bit about the trade deadline. I wanted to get your we have you and I have not yet. So what was the biggest reaction? What caught your attention most from the trade deadline?
I was surprised at how much Sauce went for, considering that Micah went for a pretty similar haul, and I think Micah is a better player than Sauce. Sauce
Plays a
hasn't been.
more,
I mean,
yeah, plays a more premium position.
he's yeah. He's a good player still, but he's not. I mean, he was an All Pro last year. And part of it is, are they on a if they're on a bad team and your offense is terrible, like do you kind of lose a little bit of a, you don't play as hard or whatever the case may be. They go to Indy, and he goes over to Indy, who their offense is absolutely. crushing everyone. And, he plays better there. And Indy, I mean, it's a position of need too. They're not strong on the back end. So, I thought was could be a good trade for both teams. I mean, anytime you give up two firsts, we've seen it many times not work out. But I mean, I think then the Bears give up two for Mac, and that worked out really well. So,
Well, it worked out well for a year, but it didn't end well. And I think.
well, I think also that was just, I mean, the double doink crushed them. Even me being, anti-Bears, I think they would have won. They would have been the favorites to win the Super Bowl if they won that game. That defense was incredible.
Yeah.
And so I think if they also would have, if they wouldn't have taken Mitch, they had a different quarterback, like an average quarterback, they would have, So I still like that trade for Chicago looking back at it, even though how it ended. But yeah, I mean, it's the advantage of Sauce is, 25 or something. He's really young. So that was good. And then it was interesting. Quinnen Williams. So I really like it.
Love him. Love him.
He still didn't go for, I mean, defensive tackles for whatever reason, doesn't really make sense to me. Aren't a super premium position. But it's what Dallas, what I heard, like Dallas traded Micah for Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, and like a pick swap in the first round.
You're right.
So, I mean, if you how good you think that trade is, I don't know.
I mean, you're not paying either of those guys what you're paying Micah, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the way you look at it for the Jets too, right? They're not paying Sauce or Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
So they just get picks and reload. I mean, how many times can you reload? I don't know, we'll find out.
I think what you mentioned about the if we look back at the Bears trade and we compare it, just talk about the times where NFL teams trade two first round picks. If you're gonna trade two first round picks, I like that we talked about Mitch. So let's talk about Daniel Jones. Isn't that trade really showing a lot of confidence in Daniel Jones now? We already know they're going to finish with such a good record this year. They won't be able to really get a good quarterback in this upcoming draft, right? Like that's going to be hard, probably at least a top. But next year, you're basically saying we're going to be good next year too at the quarterback position because you gave up two first. So this trade said a lot about how they feel about Daniel Jones in my mind. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think they're looking at the AFC and they're like, Buffalo, they're not elite. Kansas City, I mean, they're coming on strong, but they might not see them as elite. And I think they have their offense humming, and so I think they think this is the time,
Yeah.
so I mean, you give up two picks, and I like it personally because there's I think some teams, or I don't think all teams are playing to win a championship. I think a lot of teams are playing to be just relevant, and
Fill the stands.
sometimes you have to, yeah. I mean, like the Rams, like the Rams have been a really good team, and they've been competing. But they went for it. They, Jalen Ramsey won a title, and titles last forever. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. But I like teams that go for it, and
But what,
I think
okay,
they're
there are
winning.
teams that go for it. We agree. So the Rams, the Eagles are always going for it. Howie Roseman
Yeah,
is, he gets
they traded for
mad.
another pass rusher.
They did. Howie Roseman gets upset. He tells GMs, like, if a GM makes a trade and he doesn't hear about it, he literally will call them and say, hey, why didn't you, like, hit
Why aren't
us
you
up?
calling?
But what about the teams? Here's my last question before we jump into pick one, real quick in segment. Because I'm curious about this, because I believe if Andrew was a GM, if we could play that, I think you'd be a good GM, okay? And if you were a
I hope
GM,
so.
I really believe if you were the GM of, I'm going to give you a few names, Drew. The Dolphins, the Bengals, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Saints too. They made one move. I think you would have unloaded more. Like, talk about going for it. Well, what about those teams? Like, weren't you kind of surprised they didn't say, hey, Buffalo, you guys could really use a receiver. What do you want to do here? We have Chris Olave, and we're going to pay him for what? And I get it. You got to have players. I'm just giving you a hypothetical. You're the Dolphins. I know they don't want to help Buffalo, but they could maybe they'll help someone in the NFC, right? Like, I was surprised by that. What about you?
I think it's easy saying that in a podcast. I think it's harder when your job is on the line, and I think you have to have a lot of backing from front office to be like, hey, we're about to really blow this thing up. But it's a slippery slope because then you can turn into the Jets, right? Where you just it's hard to build that culture. I think like the Vikings are almost opposite of that, right? Like they're really never, I wouldn't say never, but hardly bottomed out,
They
right?
never
And
do.
they're always like they're just like fighting, like even when Kirk was down, right? They're fighting for wins, and I wish they would have bottomed out, but it you run the risk of just being a perpetual loser. You know, you have this culture of, okay, well, we'll trade and get all of our young players and stuff. And I think, A, you have to have a lot of backing from your front office to be able to, you know, live with the, you know, 2-win, 3-win, 4-win seasons, to build up that roster. 'Cause it's not, you know, it's not college football. There's no NIL. You gotta, you know, it takes a year or two to turn over a roster. But I like it. I think it shows that you're trying to win. Like it doesn't, you no good to be in the middle, right? So it's
Yeah.
like you might as well bottom out if you can't compete for championships. Otherwise, you're like the Chicago Bulls in the NBA, right? Where you're just playing for the 10 seed.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Bulls, by the way, Giddey was the first player this week to record a triple double in back-to-back games since Michael Jordan. That's kind of wild if you think about that. First player since Michael Jordan back-to-back double triple double. And you know what? One more thing. Talk about backing. Well, there you go. We just said that the trade to the Colts with the Jets. It signaled really strong belief in Daniel Jones. You know who it also signaled strong belief in is Aaron Glenn, because, well, obviously Woody wants a new quarterback, so that's part of it. But he's allowing the coach to do that. So good stuff. We wanted to talk trade. Let's jump into pick one. Andrew, you are up. Your first game, it looks like you did Panthers at Packers. Go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Panthers at Packers. I think we talked about the Panthers a couple weeks ago. Maybe not, but
Well,
I want
we've
to talk
talked
more
about
about
the
the
Panthers because, as I've told you, they're
that's
frisky
your sneaky
and
team.
they're mine. They're my seventh
Yeah, you're
seed.
for exactly. I want to talk about the Packers because it's like you think about their season, and it's like, are they good? And both of their losses are against the Browns. Was the Browns at home or was it on the road? I can't remember. I should probably should have just looked that up.
Was on the road. It was on the road.
It was on the road, and the Panthers at home, right? Which is weird losses. They've had the sixth easiest schedule so far. They got a good record. What are they, 6-2-1 or 5-2-1, whatever. They had two
Packers are
losses
five,
in the
two, and
time.
one.
Yeah, 5-2-1. And so they have the 10th easiest schedule moving forward. So it's not super difficult moving forward. But it was interesting to look at, just kind of dive into their stats. And, you know, after that last game, they're seventh in total DVOA. And you break it down offensively and defensively. And they're sixth in offense, third in EPA per play and success rate, first in dropback EPA. Fifth in success rate. Sorry, I'm probably going to bore you with all these stats, but I'll bring home the point in a second. And then you break it down, their offense from passing, we talked about rushing, they're 14th in EPA, sixth in success rate. But then what's interesting to me is they're fifth in the league in rush attempts and sixth in the league in rush rate. So compare that to their passing, where they're first in dropback success rate or first in dropback EPA, fifth in success rate. Jordan Love, we talked about completion percentage over expectation last week. He's third in the league. He's top three in success rate, EPA, and completion percentage over expectation individually. He's sixth in QBR. They're eighth in pass protection, so he's getting protection. So there's a pass protection ratings composite, which I thought was a new thing I would just throw out. It's Ben Baldwin does this. He's also has the stats that I get from the EPA and success rate and stuff. He's got a lot of good charts and stuff. But he takes it's 40% PFF grade, 40% Sports Info Solutions blown block percentage. So he takes 40% of that, 40% of that, and then 20% of ESPN's pass rush win rate. It's like a tongue twister. And then makes a score, right? So it's like a composite score. So you take three different things, put it
Weights
together,
them. Yep.
mix it up. Yeah, weighted, right? They're eighth, right? So, you know, top 10, that's good.
That's good.
And so it was just interesting to me that they are so run heavy relative to how successful they really are at running the ball. And so, especially when, you know, we're not, neither of us are, you know, the biggest Jordan Love fans, but statistically speaking, he's been playing really well, and they have not been. I think they're top 10 or top 12 in. Well, what's the stat? I just looked it up the other day. Please hold. Oh, pass rate over expectation. So this is also a new stat, and I'm throwing a lot of stats at you, but
We love
the
stats. Go for it.
pass rate over expectation, it takes into account game situation, yardage, time and score and all that kind of stuff. And like it goes back over 20 years of all the plays and takes into account like, who passes at this time, et cetera, et cetera. And it basically takes all the teams and do you run more or do you pass more in those situations? Like, are you more aggressive or are you less aggressive? And it's interesting to see they're, I think they're in the top 12 and like they run more than, than the average, which is interesting because they're not as good at running as they are throwing. And I think that's kind of hurting them a little bit. You look at the stats and the teams that run more are outside of the Seahawks and the Lions, which the Seahawks don't run the ball really well either, which is strange, but that's just what they do. And the Lions, who, I would run if I was them too. They're really good at running the ball. But all the teams are bad. And then you look at the flip side, the people that pass the most, Chiefs, Rams, Bills, the teams at the top. And so I think it'll be interesting to see if LaFleur switches that a little bit and gives Love more of a, pass first offense rather than, trying to run. And then their defense just hasn't been as good. It's been okay, but like you remember after week one, it was like, oh, is it the best defense in the league? They've
Yeah.
been fine. They've been, they're eighth in DVOA, so top 10, but
They
I
had a nice
think.
game against the Panthers. They gave up 100 passing yards and 13 points most of the game. You probably should win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
Got a turnover
And
in the
they're
red
fifth.
zone.
Yeah, that was a bad pick by Bryce, but 15th
Oh.
in EPA, 13th in success rate. They're not very good against the run. This has like been so such a common theme for the Packers in the last, I don't even know, 5 to 10, no, probably not 10, but 5 years
5 years
at
for
least.
sure. Yeah.
And they traded away Kenny Clark. Obviously they get Micah, but Kenny Clark was a pretty good run defender. They're just 17th in EPA, 20th in success rate. So they're bottom half at least in run defense, which I don't know, in the NFC, that's probably not a good place to be.
Not when you've had the sixth easiest schedule to start, if you're at the
Yeah.
bottom of
Yeah,
that,
that's a
because
good
you know
point
what's
too.
going to
Yeah.
happen when you play in the playoffs. Like you saw it with this game against the Panthers. I know I didn't watch it live. I went back and rewatched it. They needed to get that stop at the end of the game. And everybody knew Donald's probably getting the ball. And he had a pretty big run that I saw that really set him up
Yeah.
eventually to get in field goal range. So yeah, that could come back to bite them the way that they're built on defense. I don't know. We'll see. I do know.
Yeah.
Don't
Yeah,
say I don't
it was
know.
just interesting to kind of take a deep dive. Tucker Kraft out for the year. That's, one of
That's big.
their best pass catchers. That's a big loss for them. But it'll be interesting to see. It's kind of what are we in week 10?
Can I
So,
ask you this question,
halfway
though?
through.
Can I ask you this question? This
Yeah.
is what I really want to know. I'm happy that you laid out all these stats, and all of this stuff is great because if you're listening, this is the stuff that really matters. Like, you should be looking at these things. How do these players, not your flat line stats? I can't stand QBR when people are not QBR, passer rating. I had a great passer
Yeah.
rating. You know how many times I've seen guys have like a 90 passer rating but played amazing, or they have 115 but they didn't play well because it's
Yeah.
so heavily weighted on touchdown interception. But here's my question. What you just said. You would think Jordan Love's playing well, but when I've watched him play, and I'll give you the games I've
Yeah.
watched, the Browns game obviously was not great. Okay. This Panthers game was not great. And neither was the Cardinals game, really. If you watched the Cardinals game, I wasn't impressed. The second half of the Steelers game, I know you were out. I think you were at a concert.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Hey, big third quarter, awesome second half. I've seen him play. And then even honestly, Andrew. I don't think opening week against the Lions, he looked that great. If you recall, and obviously we're nerds, so we can recall this, he had like two huge turnover worthy plays, and I think they were both called like
Yeah.
penalties, right? I don't know. Like, I don't see a guy that's playing that well. So it's amazing to me that the numbers say that because when I've watched and I get it, people, oh, you're a Bears fan. No,
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I like Jordan Love in terms of I think he's a good player. I don't think he's playing as well as what you just said, but. Because they're saying, oh, he should be in the MVP conversation. I don't think he's playing nearly as well as Stafford, Baker, No, Baker didn't have a great game against the Lions, but you could name a few other guys, Josh Allen, whoever, right?
Yeah.
So, do you
Sam
think he's
Darnold.
playing as well as Sam Darnold? There you go. As well as these numbers say? Like, are you seeing that? Am I missing something? Tell me.
Yeah, no, that's why I picked the game is because I just they came out of the gate really hot and they were, once they traded for Micah, it was like Super Bowl favorite. And I was like, I don't know. And they crushed the Lions, and so it was this peak, right? Peak Packers mania. And ever since then, like when they lost to the Browns, it was a weird loss. But they
But that's a
just
good defense on the
did.
road. That's tough. Defense, that's a good defense on the road.
Yeah, but that the Browns offense was so
So
bad. So
bad.
bad.
They
Like
couldn't score.
you gotta win that game. But I just feel like they've been under the radar, and they haven't like no one's really talking about it. Maybe they are. I don't listen to enough mainstream sports stuff, but it just feels like I don't know. The Packers are just bleh. And like you said, when I watch Love, like we always joke, like he'll give you one or two a game, and you have to capitalize on those.
Those
And,
interceptions, well, the
yeah.
first the interception against the Panthers this week, that's the he's going to give you one. I don't get it. I don't see it. I know he threw one down the field to Watson early in the game. That looked like a great throw. One-on-one ball, awesome. Against the Steelers, he had a really nice corner route to Kraft. He was being pressured. It's one-on-one. This is one thing I love about Jordan Love. If it's one-on-one, he gives his guys shots. But what
Yeah.
I don't like is we're throwing the ball down the middle of the field deep. Three man in coverage and it has no shot, intercepted. I know we almost threw another interception. It
Yeah.
is the turnover
Yeah,
worthy
and
play.
maybe that's why he did. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good.
No.
The other inter he almost threw an interception in the red zone, but it looked like that was fourth down if my memory serves, and you got to throw the ball up. It still wasn't a great play, but yeah, just I he do I trust him when they play the Eagles? I think they play the Eagles this weekend, so we'll get into that. But
Yeah, they played Monday night, yeah.
in these big games, I don't. He's gonna cost you a game at some point here.
Yeah,
Again.
it'll be yeah, and maybe that's why LaFleur sees him every day in practice. He saw him for the last what, 6 years. And maybe he knows more than us, about his maybe he's putting him in the perfect position for him to be this successful. And there's, a give a trade-off. Like if you put more on his plate, maybe he's less efficient, less effective
Yeah.
than when you're trying to run the ball. Or maybe just that's just how LaFleur likes to play, with the running game coming from the Shanahan scheme where he wants to run the ball.
I think you might be onto something there because you laid out these numbers really well, and then our idea is, hey, it sounds like they're more successful when they pass. Why aren't they leaning into that more?
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't want to see more of those down the middle triple coverage throws. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that game. I'm happy. We're gonna stick in the NFC North. My pick was Skull Baby, the Vikings at the
Let's
Lions.
go.
Now listen, by the way, I gotta ask you, and listeners too, like dig in on this. Where do you get all of your advanced stats? Because when I Google, it's hard to trust. Do you have a source that you really like go to?
Yeah, so I so FTN what does it actually stand for? It's a guy who created DVOA. He left, what's it called? Don't you have a name like an about? Fantasy something, something, something. Oh, For the Numbers. For the Numbers is a website that I like. And Running Backs Don't Matter is .com. It's a Ben Baldwin site, rbsdm.com, Running Backs Don't Matter.com is where I get all my like success rate, EPA per play, stuff like that.
Good,
There's a new. Go ahead, sorry.
I'd like to add mine to our rundown. We have a great little rundown. Sometimes you'll add
Yeah.
them, and I appreciate when you do because I always wonder where you get it. It's always concise. It's always organized. Sometimes I get the information from random sites, and I don't know if I should trust it. So,
Yeah.
QBR,
Yeah.
EPA, I can get all that from ESPN. But those other metrics, DVOA, some of those,
Yeah.
success rate, love to get those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's from Running Backs Don't Matter where I get Running Backs Don't Matter and For the Numbers is like my two main sites that I have bookmarked. I found another one that I actually really liked when I was just kind of looking up stuff for this pod. And of course I X'd out of it. What is it? Sports Info. Oh, Sports Info Solutions actually has a glossary. That was interesting when I Googled it, but actually has a glossary of all like the stats. So like when you see a stat that you don't know, you go to Sports Info Solutions. They have a glossary and they explain all the stats, which is
That's
awesome.
nice. That's nice. I was
Yeah,
so happy.
and
I was
then
listening to a pod the other
yeah,
day
go
and
ahead.
someone said, EPA, listen, if you don't know what EPA is, it just means after every play, are your chances of scoring going up or down based off of that play? It's like, that's it
Yeah.
right there. Simple. That's the way
Yeah.
to explain it in
Yeah.
layman's terms. You have one more thing before I jump into this Vikings Lions game?
No, all good.
Okay. Pick this game because this is the absolute on the money. You picked the Vikings last week, I believe. This was one of your
Yep.
four wins. Why were the Vikings going to either win or cover? Because it's the NFL. And it makes no sense. Let's go into
Makes
this
no
week.
sense.
The Lions coming off a bye, the Vikings coming off sort of a mini bye where they looked mini bad against
Yeah.
the Chargers. I get it, QB change. Here comes JJ McCarthy. It's wild, Drew. Yeah, that was his third NFL start, right?
Yeah.
I was brushing my teeth the other morning. I was listening to the score and I heard them say JJ McCarthy in his third NFL start. I'm like, he started more games. He's only started three games in the NFL still, right? Wow. So we still have very little data on him as a starting
Yeah.
quarterback. But he's got a lot of experience watching and whatnot being in the building. So Vikings win after the Lions come off of the bye week. So here's a question. Was Flores due against Goff? Because it feels like he gets torched by him a lot. So that's my question for you to start this. Because it feels like Flores was just due. When I watched the game back, a lot of pressure, a lot of unblocked blitzers on Goff. What'd you see?
Yeah, it was. So I went back the last 3 years because he's been a defense coordinator for 3 years, and they've scored 30 points every game. And it seemed like he actually didn't do terrible last year. It just felt like so it was more the rushing game. Like Gibbs is he's been like 140, one I think he a couple touchdowns pretty consistently. And so I think the dynamic of having the running game and then. It just seems like on big downs, it's Amon-Ra crosser open for a first down. It's just like it just the pressure never got there. And so when you can't stop the run and your blitzes don't get there, that's a problem,
Especially against them.
obviously. Yeah, especially and you saw it in the game last week too. There was big third downs where they brought the blitz, it got picked up, and then it was the tight end, what's his name?
Yeah, Laporta.
Laporta for a touchdown, or it was like a big Amon-Ra first down. It's just like stuff like that happened. And what was interesting is Goff was blitzed. He was blitzed 25%, which is like low. It's like one of the lowest in the league. And obviously Flores, because that I mean that's why if you blitz them, they pick it up and you just get destroyed,
And you
right?
mean
And Flores is like,
going into
well.
this game up until this
Going into the game.
for the season, Goff was blitzed at 25%, but I bet you
Yeah,
what
which I
was
think is the
Flores's rate?
lowest. Yeah. And Flores is over 40%. I think only the Falcons blitz more than he does.
Wow.
And so he brought the house. And what was interesting was it was a lot of like double A gap pressures, like old Mike Zimmer line the linebackers up in the A gap and come. And it was stunts and it was really cool. It was surprising that they got home as much as they did,
Yeah.
and that just doesn't happen. And so I think part of it was that part of it was their run defense was really good. And it wasn't a game script thing because the game was never
It was never at a point
so
where the
far
Lions couldn't
out of
run the ball,
hand.
right?
Yeah, exactly. But the Vikings just for whatever reason, I think the Lions also their offensive line just isn't as good. I mean, they have Penei Sewell, who's awesome. They have some other guys who are good, but they're just when you replace like all pros, it's tough. And I think one of the pass protection metrics I was looking at before this, of course, I don't have it on me, but they were like 20th in the league, which is like crazy.
I was listening to someone talk about how the Lions are coming off of a bye week, but that they don't have the advantage that you would have if you maybe still had Ben Johnson or you have a McVay or a Shanahan or an Andy Reid, because these gurus, right, do really well off of a bye week.
Yeah.
Like a Dan Campbell is more motivating, right? That type of guy.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe it helped with Flores, who motivated because he hasn't maybe had his impact on Goff, but he also had a mini bye. So you kind of had two things working against themselves there. The other question I have for you, I got two more on this game. One, let's start with JJ McCarthy. He made some sick throws in this game, some big time throws. What I noticed is he's had a really hot start in the first half. Not that, I'm not saying he didn't play well in the second half. I just mean completions wise. It looked like his completions fell off a little bit. Still made some big throws in the second half. I saw a lot of big throws. I have my favorite, but I'm curious, what was your favorite throw in the game? Because I didn't get to text you back and forth. I was in Cincy at the Bears game.
Yeah, I think my favorite throw was the last one. I think that's probably pretty easy in terms of situation, ball placement, and then you just kind of run. I watched the play over a few times before coming on just to look at like the all-22, break it down just to
Yeah.
see kind of like what he was seeing and when he was seeing it. And he had Addison and Jefferson coming, it was like deep in cuts, but he threw it to Naylor before they even were, breaking open. So it was interesting. I find it hard to believe that Naylor was option one, but I mean, he had something that he liked. And for KOC, I thought the biggest thing about that play was, besides, obviously the completion, but KOC just trusted him. Like, how many
Yes.
times, not just the Vikings, but just teams in general, right? You're winning, it's third and five.
Defense is playing well. Defense is playing
Yeah,
well. That's how
defense
you
playing
talk
well.
yourself into it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, we'll just punt. Make them go the length of the field. They have no timeouts. I don't think they had timeouts then. But how many times does that happen? And you lose. And for KOC to be like, hey, JJ, we trust you. Like, drop back, throw it. I thought that was awesome.
From the all
That was
from the all 22, Jefferson, Addison, did they look like they had leverage? Like, were they going to break open?
so it looked like the safety was sitting on JJ, and it's hard to tell because like. When he's breaking, the safety's like looking right at him and looks like he could break on the ball, but it's also the ball's in the air, so it's like,
It changes everything once the ball's thrown because everyone kind of goes away. I agree. That was my favorite throw, mainly because, wow, KOC trusted him. But I do think, and I told you because I saw him in person, when it was time to make big throws in that Bears Monday Night Football game against the Vikings, I've brought it up before. That throw to Aaron Jones, that wheel route, is still, that is a tough throw to make. I mean, in stride, on the money, in the fourth quarter, when you haven't played well the first three quarters and you start getting hot. I think JJ, I told you, I liked him coming out of the draft because he was young. We'll see what happens. But last question before we get into your picks for this week. NFC North race now. We've got Packers at 1, 5-2-1. Lions at 2, at 5-2, or 5-3. Bears are 5-3, but they lost to both the Lions and the Vikings. Vikings at 4-4. I mean, it is anyone's race right now. The Packers and Vikings have yet to play, from what I know. Bears haven't played the Packers. Bears play the Vikings in, I think, next week or 2 weeks, something like that. Maybe it's next week. What's the race look like to you? Is there a favorite? Do you think it's Detroit? Is the Vikings winning, showing it's anyone's race? Like, if you had to bet right now, how do you see it shaking out?
I still think it's Detroit. Partly because I think it's Detroit and Green Bay probably at the top. And the Vikings, I think that roster wise can match up with them, coaching wise, as good as them for sure. It just comes down to JJ, like how good is he? For his all the good throws that he had some really bad throws. And Brady actually was, I thought Brady wasn't terrible in this game. He was pointing out like when JJ would drop low, it sailed high. Like he had, JJ on some out routes, and he just like. Not even Wembanyama could have caught them. It's just like, what are we doing? And then he threw a pick over the middle where he had Naylor open, just put it in front of him, first down, and it ended up being an interception, right? So I think that's gonna just matter on if he continues to progress. I mean, he obviously played really well. He's super young. He's got the arm talent to make all the throws, but I think Detroit made some uncharacteristic mistakes. With their pass protection, with Montgomery fumbled the ball, Goff missed some throws. Like I still think They can run the ball really well, which, you know, Green Bay doesn't defend well running. So I think it's a bad matchup for Green Bay. So I still like the Lions. I think they're going to be there. But yeah, I mean it's really interesting when everyone starts playing each other, because I don't really think there's been many division games.
There haven't been. That's the second one, right? Well, third
Yeah.
one. Lions have played the Packers and the Bears. Bears have played the Vikings. Vikings have played the Lions. The Bears game against, if you, I agree with what you're saying. The Bears game against the Vikings in 2 weeks tells me everything about the Bears and the Vikings. Like, who's going to be, and obviously, right? But
Yeah.
whoever wins that game probably has a shot to get to second place. If the Bears lose that game,
Yeah.
it's going to be hard to convince me that if you're 0-2 against the Vikings, they play the Packers twice in 3 weeks. Kind of tough.
Yeah,
That's
it's
how
tough.
I'm
I
looking at
can
it.
do that. I can do that.
The Vikings, their roster though, if JJ's good, I think their roster is as good, if not better, than the other two rosters. Like that guy that
Yeah.
plays for the Vikings. What's the defensive end's name? I was watching him on Thursday Night
Grenard.
Football.
Grenard.
The Bears don't have one of those. The Lions
He's
do.
amazing.
He's amazing. The
He's
guy is
so fun to watch.
he's good.
He
Yeah.
was, and then Van Ginkel's back. He was hurt for a while.
Van Ginkel is out, right? So yeah, when they're moving and grooving, they're tough.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is back too. I think that's a big play too.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
been out.
They ran the ball really well against Detroit. That was cool to see. Aaron Jones had a really good game. So it was good to see him back.
Yeah. All right, let's move to our third segment where you're going to run through your picks. Are you ready for
Yep,
that?
yep, yep. Yeah, so I'll try and do it correct. I usually don't,
Very true.
because I want to, you know, get into the games. But when we record on Thursdays, it was my whoopsie. We couldn't record yesterday because, you know, scheduling.
How dare you? All good.
I know, but I don't know. I've loved like most of these Thursday night games. I don't know what the score is when we're recording.
It's
I
7-7 right now with
7-7.
43 seconds left in the half. The Broncos have the ball. So right now, if you pick the Raiders plus 9.5, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I had the Raiders plus 9.5 and the under 42.5. I mean, that looks pretty good.
Think you're
Love
good.
that. But that doesn't count towards the five. So my top five best bets: Dolphins plus 9.5 at home. Plug your nose and bet it. Jets plus 2.5 at home against the Browns. Chargers minus 3 at home against the Steelers. Saints plus 5.5 at the Panthers. Packers minus 2.5 at home against the Eagles. That might be my, you know, double your net worth. Shout out Barstool, but
What I love right now is as you're giving your picks and you're being very humble and kind by saying, hey, you know what? Even though the Raiders is like a double win, I'm not going to count it. I'm going to earn this the hard way. Your boy, not your boy and not my boy, Bo Nix just threw a really ugly pick. So,
I love that.
hey, he threw it deep. I'm going to ask you this question. Did he throw it too far to the right, too far to the left, too far short, or too far deep? Which one would you pick?
I would say he airmailed
He airmailed it too deep, Drew. You are right.
it.
Anytime he throws it so far that it
He
goes
loves that.
into the podcast,
Yeah, over there every time.
he overthrew. Okay, let's look at some of these games. So the Raiders, obviously, we just chatted about that.
Yeah, look at
Dolphins.
that.
The Dolphins is a great pick, in my opinion, because it's gonna be so hard for team for bettors to wow, he just dropped that. For bettors to look at that and go, oh, the Bills, they look so good against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're gonna spank the Dolphins at home. It's starting to
Yeah.
get cold. Last time they played, that game came down to the wire.
And you know, weird things happen in Miami. I remember when Brady always struggled in Miami.
This game's in Miami. I thought it was in oh, they're
No,
home.
I'm seeing it's in Miami.
Oh, I thought it was in Buffalo. This is even better. My bad. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I
Yeah, I
like
mean,
this
nine and
even
a half.
more.
Maybe it goes up to 10. I kind of doubt it. But yeah, it's interesting. It's just one of those games, you know. It's like last week, Buffalo, big win. Did Miami win last week?
They
No, they lost.
did. No, sorry, they lost. No, they were on a bye, right?
2 weeks ago then.
Yeah,
The
2 weeks.
30th.
They beat the Falcons, remember? They spanked up on the Falcons.
No, they lost to the Ravens.
Oh, that's right. Thursday Night Football. That's right. Yes, you're right. Look at that. We're all over the place over here on these.
I actually lost that Thursday night football game. No, no, I think I won. I don't remember. Whatever. Yeah. So, you know, loss. Buffalo Bills come off a huge win. 9.5. 9.5 is a lot. And that's the thing about gambling. It's like, how many games are one score? You know, so many NFL games are one score games. And it doesn't even have to be like a competitive one score game. It could be garbage time, backdoor covers. You know, 9.5 is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points.
And I think as bettors or, commoners that aren't like locked into the gambling, you just see like, oh, you know, so and so blew them out, or you see these blowouts like, oh, 9.5, not that much points, there's blowouts all the time. I don't know. 9.5's a lot. 80% of the public.
Yeah. Stands out. Also, then you get into the weeds of the game. Buffalo is not good against the run. KC just did not run the ball well. No surprise, in my opinion, there. The Dolphins can run the ball, and Achane's a really good player. And McDaniels, you can say what you want about that guy. He's creative in the run game. They're going to move the ball on the ground. I like that. Now, this next game, toughest game in the confidence pool. I went with, man, I have to look. I forgot who I went with. I'm not going to look right now because I'll be embarrassed if I didn't take the Jets. But the Jets plus 2.5 against Browns. I don't know. Pick there. Why did you go? What? I'm surprised you didn't stay away from this game. So tell me what gave you confidence to go Jets.
It just feels like, you know, so you look at, you know, public is Browns are a heavy public side. So that's one. And then the Jets, it kind of feels like, oh, they traded everyone away. They're giving up on the season. The Browns are still fighting, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like the Jets vibes are super low, right? Because they're like, they're giving up, traded all their good players. And the Browns are still, I mean, they suck, but it's just weird. Like, why are the Browns favorite on the road? That doesn't make sense. But so I kind of like it as a zag. My first reaction to this game was to take the Browns. Because I was thinking the same way, right? It's like,
deadline.
The good players, like the Browns, why are they favored on the road? It's actually two now, so I'll change that. It's not 2.5.
And I went with the Browns because of the trades. But to be honest with you, the Bengals were up 24-3 against the Jets, and they didn't even have Sauce Gardner in that game. I don't think they had Garrett Wilson, and they came back and beat the Bengals. I know the Bengals aren't any good, neither are the Browns. So I could see it happening.
But it's interesting that it just switched from 2.5 to 2 when the public is overwhelmingly on the Browns. So that's showing you that the public is on the Browns, but the big time bettors are on the Jets, right? Because otherwise, if it was 70%+, it would keep going up, but it's going down. That doesn't make sense, right?
That doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah. So that makes me feel even better.
What's up with this Chargers game? How are the Chargers a 3-point favorite to the almighty Steelers, who just beat the Colts, who just kicked the crap out of the Chargers? Well, how does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a stinky line, right?
Do you like the Chargers because the Steelers are traveling? And I know it's probably going to be a pro Steelers crowd there. What's the play there? Because I know the 70% of the Steelers, or do you think it's just the Steelers come back to earth, they get a big win against the Colts, but now they're playing another good team.
I mean, I think the Colts had, what, like 6 turnovers and lost by 7? Like, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't think people are like, oh, the Steelers defense finally showed up. It's like, I don't know, maybe. Like, the Colts just had an off game and they kept turning the ball over and they lost by 7. You know, so it's like, I don't think the Steelers are as good as the Colts. I think if they play, you know, 10 times, that the Steelers lose 8, you know.
And we like the Chargers. I like the Chargers.
I don't think the Chargers as good as I hoped they would be in the beginning of the season, but I still think they're a good team. And you have Herbert, you know. This is more of a play against the Steelers defense. I just don't think they're that good.
We saw Flacco tear them up. We've seen a few. We saw Love tear them up. I like Herbert here, especially at home, like not on the road.
Yeah.
Against that. Hey, against the secondary with Jalen Ramsey, who, according to Madden, you know, if you go by the Jets scouting department, he's a top three corner in the NFL.
Yeah, they should have traded for Jalen.
Saints plus 5.5 at the Panthers. Do you like the Saints to win this game or just cover? Because I took the Panthers in my confidence pool.
I don't know. I kind of might sprinkle a little bit on the Saints. Like the Saints vibes are, I wouldn't say all time low because, you know, back in the day they were, you know, paper bags on their head. But yeah, I mean, this just doesn't, I wouldn't say it doesn't make sense, but this is like a classic Panthers off a huge win. You know, and they went into Green Bay and won, but also I don't think their offense played that well, you know, and, you know, Green Bay kind of helped them out on the other side of the ball. I think their defense is good, but
Did
division
you
game.
factor in that the Panthers, and maybe you said this a second ago, I'm looking at the rundown. Did you factor in that the Panthers are better at home than they are on the road? Like, are you thinking they go back home at all? They still win, but it's like they win by a field goal? Because
Yeah,
I
I think it's
took
just
them
gonna
in
be
my
close.
confidence pool. Like, I don't know if you heard me, but I took them in my confidence pool and really want some confidence from you on this one,
Yeah,
buddy.
no, I think it's gonna be close. But I don't think the Panthers are a team that's going to blow anybody out. Maybe they win by 7 and I lose, you know, but I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know. The Panthers are frisky, and I think they're frisky against good teams because they can run the ball, but that also doesn't really bode well for them blowing somebody out. You know, I mean, I think they blew out the Falcons, right? It was like 30 to
30 to
nothing.
zero,
But the
crazy.
Falcons are so weird. And, you know, it's a division game, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I just think Saints off a loss, you know, rookie quarterback, he sucks. They're terrible. Panthers went into Green Bay and won. They're really good. Everyone's high on the Panthers. They come back down to earth.
Yeah. I knew, by the way, I'm telling the audience this. Listen, let me talk to the audience. Andrew, hold on. I
I'm not listening.
knew when the games came out this week, when I looked at the spread and I saw the Packers as a 2.5 favorite at home, I knew Andrew was going to pick the damn Packers, and he did. Because he's going to come in here and tell me Packers off a loss, Eagles off the bye week, blah, blah,
Yep.
blah. There we go. And by the way, what did I just say about bye weeks? Teams with gurus as head coaches and play callers do really well. Vic Fangio probably has a nice game against Jordan Love. But is it that the Packers defense is the best unit in this game and they're at home? They're not going to lose twice in a row. What's the play here? What's your mindset? Other than obviously 80% of the money on the
Yeah.
Eagles, what else are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, 80% of the money is huge, and it's still 2.5, which is strange. Like when it's that big of a of discrepancy, and the line doesn't really move, that kind of tells you that the money is on the other side.
Because Vegas, right, Andrew, they want
They
50-50
want 50-50.
as much
Yeah,
as they can. Right.
they want 50-50 because they get most of their money. You know, not I wouldn't say most of their money, but they get a lot of their money from like parlays and other stuff, you know, prop bets and all that kind of stuff, right? But you want to try and get 50-50 on each side. But
How
yeah, I mean,
happy will we be if the Packers lose this game?
I'd be happy. I'll take the loss in the gambling any day for Packers loss. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, because I can just listen to the pods and the TV shows this week. Packers are down. They can't stop the run. The Panthers ran all of them. Now Saquon comes in. I don't know. The Eagles haven't run the ball really well.
They haven't.
They're a really weird team. They win games, but I mean, yeah, I think Jalen Hurts has had maybe one, two good games. I don't know. I just don't trust them. They're
They also
not
haven't. They
good.
also haven't. They also haven't stopped the run really well, and that's
Yeah.
not a good matchup here in Green Bay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the line started what? It started. Yeah, so the line started 1.5. Let me see when the line moved. That's kind of wild. All right. It opened. Oh, no, it opened Green Bay -3. Okay, now it's 2.5. I was like, that's confusing. Yeah, it says whatever. Anyways. Yeah, so Eagles defense. You know, they have good corners, but I mean, you can say the Packers have. What do you think of the Packers rookie receiver?
Well, I did. I'm not one to troll. I know you know me really well, so I troll in our text messages, but I don't troll on my
Yeah.
Instagram social media. I'm not like that out there. But I had to troll a little bit this week. because I saw something that made me laugh, and it was Caleb Williams, right, has more receiving touchdowns this season than Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
So tough. It's hard. Let's talk. Take away the Packers, take away everything. I always have low expectations, Drew, on rookie receivers. I believe it's the hardest position to translate into the NFL. Running back is the easiest. You come to the on offense. You come to the NFL. Here's the ball. Here's a zone scheme. Here's a stretch handoff. Like, this is not. It's basically the same as it's always been, other than in the NFL, you got a pass block.
Yeah, I was
I
gonna
know
say
tight end is hard. You could argue because tight end, you got to block and you got to. I get that, but I just think you're standing out there by yourself. The NFL defenses, it's not a guy that's going to be working in the public accounting after the season guarding you. You got dudes guarding you now. So that's always tough. He is in a crowded offense, but it's not as crowded because Jaden Reed's now out. Okay. He's been out. Christian
Yeah.
Watson was out most of the year. He's back. Now Tucker Kraft is gone. So you'd expect more from him. But Drew,
Yeah.
he was not a top consensus top pick in the draft. He went in the 20s, right?
Yeah, and I just think these speed receivers, like everyone's trying to find Tyreek Hill, and I just think these speed receivers don't really pan out as well. And you know, they're like, oh, he's got great hands, but it's like for whatever reason, when you run a 4-2, it's just, I don't know, maybe you just don't work on running routes and you don't pay attention to the details. And then when you get to the league, it's like you said, like it's all professional athletes.
Yeah, and you can only run a nine. They're going
Level,
to be
yeah.
like, okay, this guy runs a go ball. Cool.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. But we have to admit, he's a rookie. So look at Devontae Adams. If you look at Devontae Adams' numbers,
Yeah.
I think, have we talked about this? Maybe you know this. Devontae Adams did not have a good year in the NFL until year five. And
Yeah. Yeah.
he was second
He was
round
really
pick.
bad his rookie year.
He was not good his rookie year, and it took him a while. This kid, if he's just raw, I haven't got to watch him play as much. I do watch the Packers. I haven't seen specifically locked in on him, but we'll see. Colson Loveland, everyone was telling me how Bears are dumb for taking Colson Loveland, not Warren, and I get it. Warren's already involved in the offense. I try not to overreact to offensive rookies, but running back, like,
Yeah.
come on. When Adrian Peterson stepped foot in the NFL, you just knew that dude's a dog. He's gonna be good. Matt Forte was good his rookie year. There's a lot of really good running, like, it's just different at that position.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think it's interesting. And it's like, the Packers last year was like, oh, they don't have a number one, but they have a lot of really good guys. And it's like,
do they
I don't
though?
know. When you needed somebody to get open,
Yeah.
you kind of need a number one. Like, you need a JJ, or you need somebody that's going to win. And
I
so
don't
I think.
trust any of their receivers.
Yeah, they
And
were
you
hoping
said.
that it was going to be him, but he's just not, and maybe he does, and he comes on the second half of the year and he's awesome, maybe, but
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen
And when
it.
I say I don't trust any of the receivers, I just mean if you put them in one-on-one and it's they have man-to-man, the only guy that I really trusted, no doubt, was Jaden Reed, and he's not there. So that was the guy
Yeah.
that I trust a lot. He's a he 'cause he can run every route in the tree. He's elusive. He's fast,
Yeah.
and he gets open. Okay, we hit your those are your bets. Do you want to touch on any of those other games that you like before you get into college? How do you want to go about the next step here, buddy?
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
I was in the Germany game, Falcons Colts. I was kind of like going back and forth. I was like, Colts, Falcons, like Colts coming off a loss, 6.5. They probably blow the Falcons out, but it's like, I don't know. They're getting 60% of the money, which isn't, that's kind of below my threshold, but maybe it's the Falcons because it just doesn't make sense. Like, why would the Falcons keep it close? So I think that might be a stay away game unless, I'm waking up in the mo Sunday morning feeling frisky. And Bucks 2.5 at home against the Pats. I kind of like that.
Love that
Didn't
game.
love it. Everybody's on the Pats. Pats are, might win, get the one seed. I think they go to the Tampa Bay and lose.
Me
Cardinals and
too.
Seahawks. Seahawks are riding so high, which was kind of, Cardinals also won.
I was going to ask you about this. This is where it's
Yeah.
hard. They both won.
Yeah,
They're both 0-9.
that's hard.
This is
Yeah.
hard.
But 6.5, 6.5 is a lot of points.
In a division game, too. That's
Yeah, in
in a
division
division game.
game. Texans +1.5 at home against the Jags with the backup quarterback. That was weird. Like, why are the Jags only getting 1.5 on the road?
I had to take the Jags in the confidence pool because of the backup quarterback.
Yeah,
It's
the Texans are
tough.
playing backup. What's his
Tough.
face from,
Mills, Davis Mills.
yeah, Davis Mills from Stanford. Like,
Yeah.
he's terrible.
But
But I
he has
guess.
experience, though. But he has played a lot in the
Maybe they
NFL
just
because
expected. But they can't run the ball.
They can't, that's true.
I guess their offense can't be that much worse
But the
with Dave
Jags
Carr.
are so penalized. I don't know how they did this last week, but man, when the last few times I've watched them play, it's like a flag fest. Like, it's
Yeah.
tough.
Commanders +8 at home against the Lions. That's tough because also I don't know, backup quarterbacks can just be tough. But it's like, Lions coming off a loss are gonna crush the Commanders. But I don't know, you go on the road. 8 points is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. The Lions could blow them out and do the whole Dan Campbell, we're going to put up
Yeah, for
50
sure.
points because
Like,
they like to
and
do
it could
that.
be one of those where they just run the ball because the Commanders have their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
They just run the ball down your throat and there's like nothing you can do.
They might also remember this. Let's talk about the Lions real quick. A few years ago, maybe last year, I traveled during this game. I was in the airport. I remember I was probably texting you telling you how much I hate my life right now because I wanted to watch the full game. The Lions blew out the Cowboys, and they didn't just blow them out. Like, they wanted to embarrass them because of what happened the year before with the whole 2-point conversion, lineman. You know what I'm talking about. Well, the Commanders eliminated the Lions from the playoffs, right? Ben Johnson got back with the Bears, by the way. Thanks, Ben Johnson, for getting back at the Commanders because they also had a Hail Mary. But the Lions, don't be surprised if Dan Campbell wants to put up extra points because he doesn't care if Jaden Daniels is playing or not. I wouldn't be shocked. I'm just saying, don't be shocked if they're not kicking field goals. And they're still scoring touchdowns at the end, like they wouldn't
Yeah.
normalize. Okay, keep going. What do you got next?
So we talk about Giants +4.5 at the Bears. Bears come off a big win. I know you were at that game, very exciting game. That's one of the best games of the year to be at. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But Giants 4.5. I don't know.
Are the
Doesn't
Bears
make
going to
sense.
beat anybody by more than 3 this year? I mean, they've
Yeah,
been beating
the
everyone.
Bears are gonna be the Bears. Yeah, I don't trust them.
Yeah. I
I
will say this. I
don't
will
trust
say
their
this.
defense. I don't trust their offense.
The one thing I'll say about the Bears game, it really was, if you think about it, if you were sitting next to me when this happened, the Bears get a pick. It looked like a pick six. And if it would have been a pick six with like 4 or 5 minutes left, well, I don't know how much time is left, but it was less than 5 minutes, they would have been up, right, Drew? Like whatever it was to 27, it was a 21-point game at that point. And they'd only given up 20 points on defense. But instead, it was not a pick six. They ran, punted the ball. And then, like, they scored two more touchdowns. All I'm saying is there was, like, not that much time left in the game. And their defense had only given up 20 to a really high-flying receiving core. At home, I don't think they're going to cover, but they should beat the Giants. They should win that game 27-23 and not cover. Like, I could see that. That's what I could see, to be honest.
Yeah, and that defensive line against Caleb, like I think the Bears are blocking better, but Caleb likes to hold on the ball, so that's not
3.61 seconds
is that what it is?
on average. I sat behind him during the game. We could talk about that later. I don't want to all the Bears fans come at me. I like Caleb, by the way. That's the thing. But when you sit behind a quarterback and it's play action, you've got the running back in the flat, right? But you got a tight end on a crosser against man coverage with 2 yards and you don't put it on him and you hit the check down. It's tough. It's
You
tough to
know what
watch.
the
I get
Bears'
it.
pass protection ratings composite is? We took those three things, mix them up in a stew.
Let me bet that it's top five in the NFL this season, or is it
Close.
okay?
Seven.
Seven. Not bad.
That's good.
And you gotta give this to Caleb. He has cut his sacks in half. He still holds
Yeah.
the ball, but he has cut the sacks down.
Yeah.
Last one, San Francisco. You like them at home versus the Rams. Just take a flyer on this. This is not an
Yeah,
easy
it's just
game.
they haven't been looking too hot. Rams are looking very, very good.
Yeah.
Home game, Rams. My boy, he plays well against your boy McVay.
Yeah,
So
yeah, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
just think it's gonna be one of those. It's close. Rams might lose.
When Andrew says to you guys that McVay is my boy, he really is my boy. And let me give you guys some background. A few years ago, Andrew and I have over the years had some passionate text message exchanges where Andrew might pull out a few all capitals, "Let me finish." Because we're both texting at the same time because we get hot. But we had a big argument a few years ago about where McVay ranks versus Shanahan, and it was a good dispute. So that's why we kind of poke each other about whose guy is whose. And I do like Shanahan now. I've come around. So, anyways, I like that. You love kind of rattling off your college towards the end, but before you do, I just want you guys to know we love having Andrew on the podcast. My name's Adam. His name's Andrew. You can follow him on Twitter, Surgical Sharp, at Surgical Sharp. He's pumping out really good stuff. He's also just, at the end of the day, putting up really good results here. 60% for the year in the NFL is pretty damn impressive, dude. So go ahead and finish up with college and tell us what you like there.
Yeah, so I think going through the college slate, there's quite a few games that I liked, but some of the ones that stuck out to me, Oregon getting 6.5 at Iowa. It's always tough to play at Iowa, but public sides, Iowa, in ranked versus ranked matchup, 6.5 points is a lot. So I'll take Oregon in the points. Laying the points, not with the points. And then Georgia, Mississippi State got a big win last week. Georgia's favored by 9.5, which is a lot in the SEC game, but on the road. But public side, Mississippi State, after a win, I think Georgia goes in there and beats them
You like them to
pretty
cover. You like
easily.
Georgia to cover that 9.5. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, I have to bet against A&M because that's what I do.
That's what
But
you
I
do.
also think 7 points at home, getting 7 points at home. Missouri, I think they do have their backup quarterback, which will be suboptimal, but I'm gonna be all right. And this is classic A&M letdown spot where it's like, oh man, they're undefeated. They're gonna coast to the playoff. They got Missouri and they have Texas. I forget who else they play, but they're gonna stumble somewhere. This is what A&M does.
Okay.
So sorry, shout out Keith Larson, but
He's somewhere. He's somewhere. He's somewhere right now, grinding through tape, and he's like, "Damn it,
just
Andrew!
grinding this
Damn it,
Mizzou
Andrew! You
offense.
really gonna freaking doubt us like that?"
Yeah, I will.
Shout out, Keith.
You come live in Texas, you'll realize why.
I had Tobin on the podcast, episode 106. That was really fun. By the way, it was amazing. Number one, how well he can remember things was really cool. It was fun because we don't talk about high school a lot. Like me, you, and I don't think about those things. It was crazy to
Yeah.
think back, like how North started and how like we didn't know we were in school. Like you actually had the option. I think you could have went to
No,
North,
no,
right? You
no.
didn't have the option. Okay, that's right. You weren't a senior. Okay, it
I
was.
was a year below that, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I didn't realize. Here's some Belvedere trivia for you. I didn't. Maybe you knew this. Tobin wasn't like the first option to be the head coach. They came to him at first and he's like, no, right? Like, I'm good. Because he was a coach at Belvedere for a long time, like scout or like assistant, did a lot of like help and whatnot. Position coach for years, dude, like decades. But anyways, eventually they like line someone up, right, Andrew? The dude falls out. It doesn't work. They get another guy. Doesn't work. They come back to Tobin, but like they came back to Tobin 2 or 3 months before the school opened. He was actually putting together like 2-a-days, like 3.5, 4 weeks before school opened. That was
Really?
wild. That's when he became the head coach of North. But back then, you're a kid, you're in high school, you don't hear about these things. You're not in circles.
Yeah.
You're not going down to the gym and people are telling you, did you hear that the coach is anyways, just crazy. But you brought up Keith Larson. I meant to tell you about this and text you about this after the podcast, and I forgot to. So shout out to Tobin, because talk about someone who's done a lot of really good stuff for the community too. Awesome
Yeah.
dude. All right, what other bets you got? You got any other bets in college? Or are we good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna put these on the slate, but Nebraska, I forget who they're playing. They're getting 1.5. Iowa State, I've been on Iowa State a lot, and they've lost me a lot of games, but they're getting 7 points at TCU. Kind of love it.
So I might get a text this weekend about how you can't quit Iowa State. I might get one.
Yeah, exactly. Can't quit Iowa State. Texas Tech. This is a 7 versus 8 matchup against BYU, and they're getting 10 at home. This tells me that Vegas does not respect BYU at all. And so I could see Tech blowing the doors off of BYU. And then UCF at home. It's a Friday game, so it could be, turn on your TV. UCF getting 1.5 at home against Houston. Houston had a big win. Did they win? I think they won. But either way, getting 1.5 against Houston at home. Love that.
I love it. The audience can probably tell that Adam gets really amped up for NFL stuff and then college. I'm like, hey, Drew, why don't you
Yeah,
give out these
whatever.
bets? No,
Okay,
it's not.
cool.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair. Well, you and I have talked about things. If you're not following and educated, you're gonna provide a bunch of stuff. I might ask some questions, but I won't sit here and pretend to know that I know anything about some of these teams. I am interested. What is Georgia ranked right now? That'd be my one question to you. Where are they at? Are they
They're
ranked?
in the top 10.
Top 10, right? Who would Andrew put his money on to face Ohio State in the championship? Because it's going to be Ohio State in the championship. Right? Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was hoping you were gonna ask who are you gonna take in the title game, and I was gonna say Ohio State.
I know, and that's why I wanted to give you something a little more difficult, but
Yeah, Georgia's five. I don't know. I can't quit Oregon. I think they're really good. And I think they underestimated Indiana. So, but I also kind of underestimate Indiana too. I just look at
that was a
Oregon.
fun
I
game.
think
That was a fun game. I watched that game.
yeah. And they're good at both lines of scrimmage. They have a quarterback, and they have a good defense, which I think is important to go against Ohio State, who's got a very good defense, a good quarterback, and an extremely good receiver. I mean, they have like three good receivers, but I think Oregon's a team to watch. I don't think Georgia has the offense that can compete with Ohio State, but I mean, they don't have the defense, excuse me, which is strange to say about Georgia. But their defense just isn't there. And I mean, I guess you could say A&M, but I'll never pick them. But so I would say the two teams, I would say Texas Tech and Oregon.
Okay. All right, cool.
I
We'll
think
see.
Tech's really good.
Okay, well, we'll see how it pans out. I might toss that UCF Houston game on tomorrow just to check it
Yeah,
out.
a little something in the background, you know?
Yeah, I could use it. By the way, you just mentioned the receiver for Ohio State. I meant to tell you that jogged my memory with the Jets and their trades. They're loading up for 2027. I think I know why. I think they're right. You try to get a quarterback in this next draft, and then in
Yeah.
2027, you come back and get that kid from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith, right?
Yeah, Jeremiah Smith, stud.
Andrew's favorite receiver that can bench 225 for 20 reps. That's his favorite receiver
Yeah, stud.
right there. Anyways, okay, hey, Andrew at X Best Bets. Follow him on Twitter, Surgical Sharp. Thank you, sir. Hey, we'll see you next week. Keep it up. 60%.
Let's go. Another winning week. Let's go.